Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. We're now going to be dealing with chapter number 6 in Knowing the Voice of God. And this chapter is entitled How God Speaks to Man. The objectives of this particular lesson are this. Upon completion of this lesson, you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You're going to be able to list various ways God speaks to man. You'll be able to recognize God is not limited in his ability to communicate to man. Our key verse is going to be found in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 17th verse. Introduction. As we mentioned in the introduction of this course, the Bible is a history of methods by which God communicated to man and the response of mankind to the voice of God. This chapter examines the biblical record to discover the methods by which God communicates to man. First off, we have the written word. So, as we learned in the previous lessons, God speaks to man through his written word. God does not need to speak to you concerning things already revealed in the scriptures. God uses other methods to communicate, and they will never conflict with his written word. One of those methods is prayer. So there are many examples of God speaking as a result of prayer. Prayer and fasting, or doing without food for spiritual reasons, resulted in God speaking to Paul and Barnabas. And we find that in Acts 13:2-3. It says, "And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away." So prayer is to include the request for the fulfillment of God's will on earth. And Jesus also taught his disciples to pray. In Matthew 6:10, it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So Jesus prayed for direction from God prior to the selection of his disciples. In Luke 6:12-13, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." So also Jesus prayed for God's will prior to his death. We found that was in Luke 22:42. Saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Counselors. God communicates his will through Christian counselors. There are many biblical examples of people seeking guidance from men of God. The Bible states that in Proverbs 11:14, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." In Proverbs 12:15, it says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearketh unto the counsel is wise." Circumstances. God communicates his plan many times through circumstances. One excellent Old Testament example of this is the life of Joseph as recorded in Genesis 37:50. Joseph's brothers had sold him into slavery in Egypt, but he viewed this as a direction of God. And we find that in Genesis 45:5-8. It says, "Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." Also, we have through circumstances, which Joseph had no personal control. He was used by God to save the lives of thousands of people in this time of severe famine. Paul also wrote some interesting words in 1 Thessalonians 2:18. He told believers at Thessalonica that he was prevented from visiting them because Satan hindered. Since he could not go to them, he wrote to the church in Thessalonica. Satan's hindering result in the book of 1 Thessalonians and the important message Paul shared had greater impact than would have resulted from a visit. It has been passed down through the centuries for the benefit of all believers. Nothing occurs apart from God's knowledge. Even when circumstances block what you might perceive to be God's will, God is still in control, and God can take any deed, whether of Satan or man, and he can use it for his own purposes. And we have a wonderful promise from God regarding circumstances, and that's found in Romans 8:28. And it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose." One word of warning. Caution must be used in considering circumstances alone to determine God's will. For example, God told a prophet named Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach. And when he came to the waterfront, there was a boat leaving for Tarsus. And he took this boat instead of going to Nineveh. He might have said, "This is a cabin open on this boat going the opposite direction, so it must be God's will that I go." So circumstances of life must be viewed in relation to what God reveals through other methods. God has already communicated his will to Jonah. Jonah manipulated circumstances to fulfill his own wishes. Open and closed doors. Circumstances of life result in what has come to be called open and closed doors. And Paul wrote to Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16:8-9, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." So Paul decided to stay in Ephesus because through circumstances arranged by God, there was a great opportunity for Christian service open to him. He called this an open door. On another occasion, Paul records his desire to minister in certain areas, but the doors were closed. We find that in Acts 16:6-7. It says, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia into the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." So a closed door does not mean that you've missed God. It does not mean that it is not his will to do something. Paul later evangelized Asia, and God is directing you by closing a door. He leads through closed as well as open doors. Sometimes a door is closed because it's not the right timing in the plan of God. Later, that same door may open to you. Another way of direction is angels. Lot was given direction by angels who appeared at his home in Sodom, and he was told to leave Sodom because the judgment of God was going to fall on the city. And that was in Genesis 19. An angel spoke to Philip and told him to go to Samaria. That was Acts 8:26. And the births of John the Baptist and Jesus were announced by angels in Luke 1. So there are numerous biblical records of angels appearing to communicate the will of God to man. And you can find other examples in your own study of the scriptures. Another way is through miracles. A miracle is a supernatural event which is beyond the power of man to perform. God spoke through a miracle in the event recorded in 1 Kings chapter 18. The prophet Elijah was told to prepare an altar before the Lord, and Elijah prepared the altar and cried. And we find that in 1 Kings 18:36, 38, and 39. "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, 'The Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God.'" So God used this miracle to speak to men who worshiped idols and to reveal himself as the true and living God. God has also revealed his will through miracles in nature. A pillar of fire and a cloud in the sky gave directions to the nation of Israel by night and by day as they traveled through the desert. And we find that scripture verse is in Exodus 13:21-22. And in that verse we read, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar and a cloud to lead them in the way, and by night the pillar of fire to give them light to go by night. He did not take away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." so you can find many biblical examples of God communicating to men through miracles. Watch for these in your own personal Bible study. Another method is through dreams. God desires so much to communicate with us that he even speaks while we sleep. God speaks in dreams. They're not the normal dreams experienced by everyone. They're supernatural dreams given by God, and they are detailed, specific, and they reveal his will. The following are just a few examples, biblical examples of dreams. In Genesis 23, God warned Abimelech in a dream about his sin of taking Abraham's wife Sarah. In Genesis 31, 11 through 13, an angel spoke to Jacob in a dream to remind him of his vow to God. In Genesis 37, God used dreams to reveal his will to Joseph. In 1 Kings 3, 5, God appeared to Solomon in a dream and gave him opportunity to ask for whatever he desired. In Matthew 2, 12 through 13, a dream was used to direct wise men to return to the country by different route because of an evil king. So these are just a few of the many examples of how God communicates through dreams. You can find other examples as you continue to study this method of guidance in God's Word. Another method is visions. A vision is similar to a dream, but it differs because you're awake. It's like having a dream without being asleep. Visions may be seen with spiritual eyes as well as physical eyes, and this might means that you might not actually see it with your natural eye, but God gives you a picture of something in your spirit. The following are a few of the many biblical examples where visions were used by God to communicate to man. The first one we have here is found in Genesis 15. It says, "And God appeared to Abraham in a vision and made him a great promise." The book of Daniel is filled with visions as well as dreams. God used these to reveal many things about the future of the world. He spoke of many other Old Testament prophets through visions. In Acts 10, God gave Peter a vision concerning the need to take the gospel to the Gentile nations. In Acts 16:9, God called Paul to Macedonia through a vision. In Acts 18:9, God spoke to Paul in a night through a vision. The final book in the Bible, Revelation, is based on a vision seen by the Apostle John. An audible voice. God spoke to Paul in an audible voice during a journey through the Damascus Road, and you can read this story in Acts chapter 9. In Acts 9, 4 through 5, it says, "And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." So God also spoke to Samuel in an audible voice, and we found that in 1 Samuel 3:10. "And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth." So the Bible is full of declaration, and God said are references to the fact that God spoke or commanded. Often this was an audible voice, but there is another voice through which God speaks. And we're going to talk about that now. That's the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. More often than an audible voice, God uses the inner voice of the Holy Spirit to speak to man. This is called being led by the Spirit. In Romans 8, 14, it says, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So to be led by the Spirit assumes a spiritual life in those being led. A soul dead to sin with no spiritual life cannot be led by the Holy Spirit. Being led by the Spirit also assumes an inability to lead yourself. You have learned in previous chapters that this is true. Now, when you experience the new birth of salvation, God gives you a new spirit which is receptive to his communications. We find that in Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27, and it says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you." Now, when you're led by the Spirit, the will of God is revealed to your spirit by the Holy Spirit. One of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is guidance. And we find that in John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So the spirit of man is that hidden man of the heart, mentioned by Peter in 1 Peter 3:4. When God speaks to the inner man, he is speaking to your spirit. The writer of Proverbs said that the spirit of man is the candle or lamp of the Lord. That's found in Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So in the natural world, a candle enables you to see in darkness. In the spiritual world, God uses the candle of your spirit to direct your steps to his will. He enlightens and guides you through his spirit. Once during a journey by ship, the Apostle Paul warned the captain of the vessel. He said in Acts 27:10, "Sir, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the landing in the ship, but also of our lives." So Paul did not say, "I had a vision." He did not claim to have a dream or that God had audibly spoken to him. His spirit had a witness from God, and that witness proved to be correct. You must train your spirit to be sensitive to God. Much time is spent on intellectual development through education, and much time is spent on physical development through exercise and athletics. But often, little time is spent on spiritual development. Your spirit can be educated just as your mind, and your spirit can develop in spiritual strength just as your body can be built and trained. You train your spirit by meditating on the Word of God. In Joshua 1:8, it says this. It says, "The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So God also uses the inward voice of the Holy Spirit to convict your conscience. The conscience is his inward awareness of right and wrong given by God. Feeling is the voice of the body. God does not use how you feel to direct you. The flesh is an enemy of the spirit, so feelings can deceive you. Reason is the voice of the mind. God's ways are often beyond human reason, and his thought processes are much higher than yours. Then we have conscience. Conscience is the voice of the spirit of man, convicting and directing you to the perfect will of God. The Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit. The Spirit convicts the conscience. Through this, you are brought into conformity to the will of God. When the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit, the conscience is convicted. But if you continue to ignore it, your conscience can become seared, and this means it becomes hardened to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We find that in 1 Corinthians 4:2, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So the book of Proverbs contains many verses that indicate God controls inner thoughts and the conscience of man to guide him in his will. The first one we have here is in Proverbs 16:1. It says, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." In Proverbs 16:9 it says, "A man's heart deceiveth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." In Proverbs 21:1, it says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, he turneth it whatsoever he will." Another way of guidance is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts are also used by God to speak to man, and spiritual gifts are special abilities given by the Holy Spirit. Several of these gifts enable you to receive communication from God. There is a gift of tongues through which God speaks to man in a language he does not know. Interpretation from God follows to translate the message. And the prayer language of the Holy Spirit, or other tongues, is also used by the Spirit to guide you to the will of God. When you do not know how to pray according to God's will, pray in tongues. And we find that in Romans 8:27. "He that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." There's also a gift of prophecy, which brings an immediate message from God to his people. There's a gift called discernment, through which God communicates regarding the spirits operating in others. And God also communicates through gifts of wisdom and knowledge. These gifts provide divine insights about people and circumstances beyond what is known in the natural mind. Then we have miscellaneous methods. Two other methods of biblical guidance are casting of lots and use of fleeces. We discussed both of these in previous chapters, and we learned the casting of lots was a method of chance. It was used only prior to the giving of the Holy Spirit in a new dimension. Its use is never again recorded after the guiding ministry of the Holy Spirit became available in Acts 2. And we learned that a fleece only mentioned once in the Bible, it was used by Gideon at a time of great national crisis. It was a miraculous sign used for confirmation, not direction. Now, God is not limited. God does not always speak in the same way. We try to limit God to a set pattern because God has spoken in a certain way one time. We believe he will always direct in the same way. But as we've learned in this chapter, God has many methods of communicating with man, and God is not limited by a set pattern. So you might want to consider these examples. First off, we have Moses. When Moses was leading the nation of Israel across the desert to the land God promised him, providing water for 2 million people was a major challenge. And on one occasion, God told Moses to strike a rock with his rod. When he did, water poured out of the rock. Another occasion, when Israelites were thirsty, God wanted Moses to speak to the rock. Instead, Moses struck the rock as he'd done previously. This was displeasing to God, and Moses was punished. This story illustrates the importance of waiting for guidance from God, even when facing a similar or familiar situation. God is not limited to the previous pattern for which you have experienced. No, you might think that God was unjust to punish Moses for such a little thing as striking the rock instead of speaking to it. The rock held symbolic meaning. It represented the Lord Jesus Christ as the living water of redemption, which would burst forth through his death. Jesus was stricken once and for all. There was no need for another striking. It was the importance of the symbolism that made the offense of Moses so great. Then we have Elijah. God used many supernatural methods to communicate to the prophet Elijah. Once Elijah had a unique experience which illustrated the importance of knowing God's voice. Elijah was told to go and to stand on a certain mountain and to wait for God to speak to him. And this is what happened. We find that in 1 Corinthians 19:11-12. It says, "And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces and rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire was a still small voice." So there were several supernatural events in this account. There was a wind and an earthquake and a fire. There were methods by which God had previously communicated with Elijah, but this time God did not speak in all the glorious events that occurred. He spoke in a still small voice. This could have been either an audible voice or a silent voice in Elijah's spirit. Then we have Paul. God used many ways to direct the Apostle Paul during his missionary ministry. On Damascus Road, Paul was directed by a bright light and a voice from heaven in Acts 9:1-8. When a plot was formed to murder Paul, he was warned by believers who were used by God to help him escape in Acts 9:20-25. Barnabas was used by God to establish relationships between Paul and other disciples, Acts 9:20-28. Believers were used of God to help Paul escape the angry Grecians. And that's Acts 9:29-30. When Paul met an occultist, God gave him discernment to bring deliverance. That's Acts 13:6-12. Prayer and the Holy Spirit guided Paul into a special missionary ministry, Acts 13:2-4. Personal prophecy by Agabus confirmed the experience that awaited Paul in Jerusalem, and that's in Acts 21:10-14. God spoke to Paul through dreams and visions. We find that in Acts 22:18, 26:19, 27:23-24. And an effectual door of service for the Lord caused Paul to change his personal plans. And that's in 1 Corinthians 16:8-10. Then we have Philip. Philip in Acts 8:26-29. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south, into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasures, and had come to Jerusalem for worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to the chariot." So God spoke to Philip the first time through an angel and the second time through the Holy Spirit. And Philip responded immediately. He did not wait for confirmation from an angel the second time. God spoke just because that method had been used previously. David. When David was a young man, he battled the enemy of God's people named Goliath. Although Goliath was a giant and he was well armed, God told David not to use traditional weapons of warfare. Instead, David used a slingshot in a glorious victory. David brought down the enemy with one well-directed shot, which struck him in the forehead. In later years, David could have been slain by a giant named Isbibnab if his nephew Abishai had not come to his aid. Are we to conclude that God was with David as he was with Goliath, but not when he was confronted the second giant? No, God simply used a different method. The first time God used David's skill with a sling, the second time he used Abishai's military skill. So when God does not choose to speak to you as he did it, as in the past, do not be frustrated. And if his will for you is in a similar situation is not identical to what was previously, do not become confused. God is not restricted to certain communication patterns. The great creator is also a great communicator, and his methods are really unlimited. That's it for this lesson. Go ahead and please do your chapter self-test and join me in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.